fell in waves across his forehead. He was beautiful. And wasn't that the point with demons? Beautiful was trustworthy. Beautiful meant safe. Or did it? To humans, beauty always meant security. To immortals, it almost always meant you were courting death. Now, I prompted. Timber inhaled greedily, sucking in air so deep through his mouth that it looked awkward. His eyes rolled in the back of his head.
I sense...
the darkness. I tried to sound casual. Got it. I know. It's like I'm in Star Wars and everyone can sense the Force but me. Thanks, but no thanks. Don't need your help or anything else from you. Unless you plan on telling me how the demons are creating more numbers, we have nothing to discuss.
But of course,
he shrugged.
I would love to show you my pet project, but what would your mate say? You'll have to touch me.
He held out his hand.
You'll have to taste my blood to see through my eyes. And what's worse, you may enjoy what you see.
I laughed. I highly doubt that.
Do you ever think about the battle Cassius fought? The wars raged between the immortals. Why would darkness call to him when he is half-angel? Why would it tempt him so? Is it because humans are so dark? But no.
Timber tapped his chin.
That would not make sense, would it? For a human's blood to be stronger than the angel blood within.
He paced in front of me.
So many puzzle pieces spread around your feet, yet you keep picking up the wrong pieces. Darkness is just a small clue as to what you are, my dear, what Cassius is. It's sad, really, possibly pathetic, how he's allowed himself to be used all these years without really understanding that he's been in chains the entire time.
Chains? Dread filled my entire body, making me heavy because even though the words made no sense, at the same time they did. Why did we fight darkness so much? Why was it an issue? Why were we cursed?
Bingo,
Timber whispered into the crisp night air.
What are you?
A dark one, I said confidently.
Oh, no, my dear.
He threw his head back and laughed.
That's a simple label for something far worse. Think more...
He flipped his hand over and waved it through the air.
Along the lines of a nightmare. A scary story, perhaps. One you were told when you were little. Careful not to venture into the forest too late at night or look under your bed. Or how about this one? Don't play with magic beyond your understanding.
My head started to pound. I pressed my fingertips against the sides in order to alleviate the ache. Timber grinned wolfishly.
Cassius leads the immortals. He keeps the peace between the humans because of Sariel joining with his human. The darkness, the curse, the pull toward demons. Why is it, do you think, that darkness represents...
He leaned in and pressed a searing kiss to my cheek. His lips scalding my skin.
Heat,
he finished in a whisper against my skin. With a gasp, I touched my cheek just as he stuttered back and burst out in mocking laughter.
I see your mind working.
A sudden chill filled the air. His eyes dilated before he let out a low hiss.
Until next time, angel.
He disappeared into the shadows just as Sariel appeared to my right. His feathers sticking straight up as if offended by the scent of a demon, the mere fact that he still lingered in the air. You're late, I sighed. He's already gone.
Not late,
Sariel answered.
I was here the whole time.
Well, you weren't very helpful.
Did you need my help?
He countered, his white eyes growing wide with light. I swallowed and looked down, crossing my arms. No.
He knows too much.
And yet you let him live. I tilted my head. Riddle me this, Sariel. Why, all those years ago, didn't you destroy the demons? We're on the brink of war. We have demons creating more demons, using who knows what to do it, and this all could have been prevented.
Light and dark cannot exist without one another.
That was the same thing he'd said to Cassius, but this time it was in the present, and I was standing there, not worn out from fighting or being pulled toward the darkness, so I tasted it. A faint bitterness floated by my mouth. With a gasp, I took a step backward. You just lied. Sariel's body stiffened.
I did not lie. I simply did not tell you the whole truth.
Omission is still lying.
Is it?
Stop asking questions to my questions. Why do you let them live? I charged toward him, allowing the anger and confusion to spread out my arms and slamming my hands against his rock-hard chest. Of course, he didn't move, but that wasn't the point. The point was I was angry, so angry that he was ignoring a simple solution. With a haggard sigh, Sariel grabbed me by the wrists and thrust me back. I flew 10 feet into the air and landed on my hands and knees. My head jerked up as he held out his hand and pulled me back to my feet.
Never.
His voice was low, filled with anger.
Touch me again.
Sorry. I shrank back while he dusted off his pristine black leather jacket and designer jeans.
You want the truth?
Yes. Sariel looked up toward the night sky, then closed his eyes as a flicker of light shone down on him.
I refuse to watch more death than is necessary. I know Cassius showed you. My job was to stay awake, to watch. My job.
He turned his head to the side, his features twisted in utter agony.
Is still to roam this realm, to watch.
He swallowed and closed his eyes again, this time keeping them closed as he pressed his hands to his face, then spoke.
Don't you see? I cannot watch it again. I refuse to watch those I love suffer. I refuse to watch them die.
People die every day.
Yes.
Immortals don't. Sariel nodded.
But they can.
I don't understand.
Then let me speak plainly.
A muscle twitched in his jaw.
If I kill the demons, you and Cassius will both die. I wipe out their race and you will cease to exist, dust to dust. Is that plain enough for you?
My eyes widened. But the war?
To keep their numbers down, for they're a gossiping sort. They hoard together, make plans, but up until now they have been silent. They've been silent for 1,000 years. And now they are at it again, and it will be your job to squelch the uprising before it is too late.
My mind finally caught up with what he was saying. Why would we die if the demon race was annihilated? Sariel's eyes were sad, but he said nothing. Instead, he reached out and touched my face with his fingertips and disappeared. Was it seconds, minutes, or hours? I had no idea how much time I spent staring off into space, wondering what my next course of action should be. All I knew was that I had a suspicion Cassius was in the dark just as much as I was, and that maybe, maybe it was time for someone to do something. Cassius's self-deprecating thoughts had always affected me, made me afraid of what I had inside, afraid of the darkness, afraid of what would happen if I lost control. It was a juxtaposition, being told not to be afraid, yet seeing what we were capable of if we did fall off that cliff. How was I supposed to stay strong when every fiber of my being told me I should be leery? When I saw thousands of years of war, when I witnessed firsthand the way he was conceived into this world. Air brushed my cheek. Had my relationship to Cassius come to this? Me keeping secrets while he watched and waited for me to snap? Waited for me to kill him? The vision of the knife in his chest while he fell to the ground seared through my memory. Why would I do that? Why would I hurt him purposely? The answer came swifter than I thought. Because as strong as I was, Cassius would always be stronger. He would eventually hunt me, track me, find me. I couldn't keep my walls up forever. But injured? I shivered. And knew, as the wind picked up and swirled like madness around me, what I had to do. Oddly, as I took those first steps toward the house, it wasn't darkness rejoicing. It wasn't warmth I felt, but a deep sense of cold. And that was the most comforting thought at all, as I grabbed the knife I knew Ethan kept in the hall closet right along with a few guns. Not that he'd ever used them. I thumbed the blade. Not the twist I thought our fairy tale would take. Not at all.
Chapter 38. Cassius. The thought that I didn't still have my immortality never crossed my mind, and frankly, I didn't want to take any chances. I would call upon Sariel once Stephanie returned. If she returned. She would return. The last 3 hours had been a painful reminder of the way she'd blocked me from her consciousness, her thoughts, her feelings, everything. All I saw was a shield every time I tried to communicate with her. The front door opened and closed. Her scent hit me first. Another door opened. Curious, I waited. It was closed faster, more abrupt, as if she had thought about slamming it, but decided against it. Footsteps followed, and then Stephanie was standing in front of me. Slowly, I lifted my head, unsure of what I'd find. Would her eyes be black? Was darkness finally having the last laugh? Or was it truly a simple walk? Genesis had gone to bed hours ago, leaving me by the fire, though it did nothing to aid the cold seeping throughout my body. "I saw Timber," Stephanie whispered. Her eyes were a clear blue. "He said some things." "Timber likes to talk." My eyes narrowed. "What the hell would he want with you?" Stephanie crossed her arms in front of her chest, taking a protective stance against me. Not only was I dealing with mental walls, but physical too. "He hinted at something. And then Sariel." "Sariel," I said his name. "Was he helpful?" "He said..." She bit down on her lower lip, opened her mouth, then shut it. "You know what? I'm tired. Why don't we go to bed?" The air filled with bitterness. A chasm opened up between us, separating me from her, her heart from mine. My soul screamed in outrage. Lies were like little walls shoved between someone you loved. Eventually, you'd have so much separation, so much mistrust, that you'd become strangers. Why push me away, when all I wanted was to hold her close? Was her connection to me different? I could hardly go 5 seconds without wanting to kiss her, make love to her, simply hold her in my arms and calm her racing heart. "I love you." Stephanie's eyes filled with tears. "You know that, right?" I stood and pulled her into my arms. "I love you too." "So you also know that," she sniffled. "Sometimes, when you love someone, you make sacrifices." I didn't like the direction she was going. I pulled back from her, just in time for a knife to slide between my ribs and stick. With a gasp, I stumbled backward as a mixture of red and silver blood leaked out of the gaping wound. "Why?" "I needed time." She quickly pushed past me. "To figure things out before you followed me. And I figured, you can't chase me if you're bleeding. It will at least give me a few minutes." A few minutes where I couldn't trace her. "Stephanie." I jerked the knife out of my ribs and held my hand to the wound as blood continued to seep between my fingers in a runny, sticky mess. "Don't do this. Let me help you. Ever think maybe what I'm doing is helping you?" She countered. Then she ran out of the house, while I fell to my knees and screamed her name.
Chapter 39. Stephanie. Timber. I whispered his name into the air. I'd never summoned a demon before, and wasn't sure how exactly it worked, yet I had no choice but to try. I continued running down the street, my feet taking me faster now that I was part angel. A half mile in, and a black Mercedes pulled up on the road, the back door opened. Timber's voice barked from the darkness. "Get in." His eyes slit vertically as they went from their normal clear blue color to a yellow. I wanted to shrink back. I was alone, with a very old demon, one who hated my mate, hated me for some reason. Hated his existence.
"Not too far off, angel."
He smiled, then tipped back a thick red liquid. The smell of earth filled the air.
"Human blood, my pet."
I thought only vampires drank blood.
"It's an acquired taste, but also a necessity if we want to keep human form. Do they teach you nothing these days?"
He laughed.
"But of course they don't. The council is perfectly happy keeping their innocent little female in the dark, just like Cassius."
"That's why I'm here." I cleared my throat. "What are..."
"No."
Timber rasped.
"Not in the car, and definitely..."
He shivered and glanced outside as the trees filled with watchful eyes of the werewolves, the ones who protected Ethan's house.
"Not around those who have perfect hearing."
We drove in silence to downtown Seattle. Once we were in front of yet another one of the bars Timber owned, the car door opened and another demon helped me out. The club was dark. Humans danced in mindless abandon. They laughed, took shots of whiskey and tequila, danced around poles, while demons sat in the darkest corners and watched. One crooked his finger at a human female. She giggled and walked over to him, straddled his lap, and started kissing his neck. I shivered. "Your kind disgusts me."
"Ha."
Timber slid his hand down my back.
"It shouldn't."
Being in their little den of sin was so not where I wanted to be spending the evening, but I needed answers and I was tired of Cassius being the pawn. It was time for someone else to take the brunt. And although I sensed the darkness, I was too focused on my mission to pay attention to it. Maybe that's what Cassius meant, why Eva had helped him so much. As long as you had something else anchoring you, you could ignore the darkness. We stepped through a large hallway. A red door was positioned at the end. When we reached it, Timber knocked twice and then opened the door, shutting it quietly behind us. The office had no windows. The walls were black. Facing the door was a desk finished in rich mahogany red. Nice black leather couches lined the perimeter of the room. Each couch had purple velvet pillows. The entire room was gaudy, as if it belonged in another time period, not to the present. The chair behind the desk was turned. Someone was sitting in it. I could see the top of his or her head, but the color of the hair was unusual. Red and dark brown?
"So, she comes on her own."
The voice sounded so familiar, masculine, warm. The chair spun slowly. With a gasp, I covered my mouth with my hands. He smiled.
"How nice to meet you in person."
"But," I shook my head, "your darkness."
"I prefer the name Bannock."
My world crumbled around my feet. Because Bannock had been Sariel's brother. Bannock was there in the beginning. He was also in my mind, though a dark black haze had always been in front of him, transforming his features. But they were the same. I felt it. I knew it. Terrified, I took a step back. But Timber shoved me forward. I turned to punch him, but he was already exiting the room, leaving me alone with... I whipped my head around. "What are you?" His black and red hair shimmered with the heat of the room as my body felt heavy.
I believe the question that's been plaguing your mind is, what, my dear, are you?
I'm a dark.
If you say dark one, I'll simply laugh.
Thanet's smile was cruel.
Did you know I was never meant to be in the U.S.? It wasn't my territory. 12 of us were sent to the ends of the earth to watch. Only this time we knew human emotion. Imagine the difficulty in watching, helping humans keep the peace, and knowing nothing but fighting and war. My brother was never good at following the rules, and I learned soon after, when he refused to see me because of his shame, that I was tired of following them as well.
He shrugged.
It seems that warmth agrees with me.
You're like Sariel, I said dumbly.
I'm exactly like Sariel.
He shifted in his seat.
If Sariel hadn't repented.
He paused.
And so are you.
What?
Ever wonder why the darkness calls?
His smug laughter was grating on my nerves, along with the way he spoke down to me like I was stupid.
It calls because it is in your nature. But by all means, sugarcoat your true identity and call yourself a dark one. Yet you are still the same as I.
I licked my dry lips. An angel?
Ha!
He clapped his hands.
You amuse me.
He spun his large body around in the chair before slamming his hands down on the desk.
You are evil.
His teeth snapped and popped as his jaw clenched together.
Humans and angels do create half-breeds, being so powerful that they are condemned to the earth. But the half-breeds must even make a choice. Serve their angelic fathers, or follow after the ones that are fallen. You call yourself a dark one, but really, you're half of a fallen angel, just waiting to turn into a demon.
I let out a little gasp of disbelief. But demons are a race. They're in the immortal book as a race that was created.
Goody,
he said dryly while blocking a yawn with his large hand.
Please continue. Don't let me interrupt.
My head was spinning out of control. I opened my mouth, but he silenced me by holding his hand in the air.
Keeping you in the dark has always been the plan. After all, what do you think would happen if the rest of the immortals discovered that most demons had angelic powers?
I shook my head. Most demons I've met are weak creatures who prey on humans. Bannock stood, towering over his desk, his claws seeped out of fingernails.
Oh?
Swallowing, I took a healthy step back.
You sense it even now.
His eyes closed for a few seconds, and when they opened, they were black, soulless.
When angels give up, break the rules, or decide not to say sorry.
His laughter was deep, empty.
They are suddenly unwanted, sent to the earth for the rest of their miserable existence. Most of them were under the impression that they were like humans, without any sort of abilities. Until Sariel.
Sariel's good, I whispered.
Sariel said sorry, but he was still punished, like the rest of us. Because of his mistake, I will never again taste the air of heaven, or feel the warmth of the sun as it rises over the horizon. The earth no longer speaks to me. The mountains no longer sing in my presence, and when the moon makes its appearance, it turns its face away in shame.
He lifted his hand into the air.
The tides pull away when I walk near the ocean. But I think.
His black eyes glistened.
The worst has to be the songs.
I kept moving backward as he spoke, trying desperately to find the doorknob.
The melody of the earth as it tilts on its axis, the planets as they sing in their specific languages, all joining together in the chorus of the universe.
He glared at me, his black eyes locking in on mine like a tractor beam pulling my feet toward him.
I can no longer hear the song of creation.
If it makes you feel better, I can't hear it either.
Silly immortal, you hear it every day. Your human side is simply too busy ignoring it to pay attention. So busy with inconsistent emotional thoughts that, in the end, truly don't matter. The worst part,
he laughed again,
is walking by a human who by all means should hear the music, who hears it on a daily basis and doesn't appreciate its beauty. I've killed humans for less. I'll continue to kill them in their ignorance.
And me? I asked. What about me? He grinned.
I no longer have any use for you.
So you're going to kill me?
No.
He shrugged.
It seems I won't need to, since you've cheerfully done the deed yourself. Killing your own mate, why? It seems the darkness truly has taken hold.
No! I screamed, lunging for him. I just slowed him down.
Oh, you slowed him down all right.
He cackled.
Even now his heart slows to the rhythm of death. What did you think? Immortality is a fickle thing, my dear. He's your mate. Your lives are interconnected in a very special way that I'm sure Sariel omitted.
Tell me, I said through clenched teeth.
I wonder if this is how Samson felt after his hair was cut.
Bannock tapped his chin.
After all, you've done the same thing without realizing it. When you mate, it is possible that one or the other person may give all of his angelic powers to the other, say, if he is worried about her safety or about her leaving him.
Human, I gasped, throwing my arms out to the sides as shreds of ice slammed against the walls. Bannock ducked.
Before you leave.
I stared him down, then closed my eyes, forcing my will on him, trying to remember what Cassius had explained in training, only to have my eyes open and see that nothing had happened.
This,
he smiled wickedly,
is my favorite part.
The wall behind him moved to the side. I counted 10. 10 men. Huge. All with red and black hair. Chained to the walls. With blood being drained from them.
It seems,
Bannock shrugged,
that I've been very bad.
The men's mouths were covered. But their eyes conveyed fear, anger, hostility, and shame. I didn't need to stare long to know who they were. Sariel's brothers. The ones who had been punished. And sent to different corners of the earth. Sariel won't let you get away with this.
Ha!
Bannock clapped his hands.
And what will dear brother do? Not only am I creating an army, but I'm harnessing their power for my own. I'm untouchable. And now,
he dismissed me with his hand.
I'm bored.
The door behind me opened. Timber grabbed my arms and jerked me out. He's insane, I said through clenched teeth. Do you truly think you can trust someone like that? I pointed at the door.
And my other choice?
Timber asked in a calm voice.
Rot until an immortal finally kills me, then take my place in hell.
He shoved me down the hall. I'll take my chances.
Sariel, yes, let's talk about the good angel.
He laughed, an evil sound that slid over me like warm butter.
Tell him a war is coming, one he cannot win. Oh, and do say hello to the immortal king for me as he takes his last breath. We had a good run, a really good run.
With that, I was tossed into the street. Home, I breathed, hoping it would work, that I would be able to imagine myself in a place and end up there. After 2 seconds of nothing, desperation finally kicked in. I pushed all of my emotions into willing myself home with Cassius, and opened my eyes just in time to see Ethan yell, "He's coding."
Chapter 40. Cassius. The wound hurt, but what hurt more was the physical pain of my heart, as it demanded I run after her. So with all the strength I possessed, I closed my eyes and willed it. I willed my strength to her, every ounce I had, and hoped it would be enough to keep her alive, even if it meant my death. "What have you done?" Sariel's whisper was, as always, so helpful. I fell to my knees with a grunt, confused as to why my wound wasn't healing. It typically took mere seconds for my skin to knit back together, leaving me without any sort of scar. But now, it was as if I'd truly been injured. I was about to yell for Ethan when he appeared by my side, his hand shoving mine away as he examined my chest. Eyes grave, he pulled back. "You aren't healing." "No shit," I huffed. It was getting more difficult to breathe by the second, as if a heaviness had taken hold of my chest and squeezed, the pressure building up into my lungs. "Alex! Mason!" They ran in. Genesis was close on their heels. "Run into something sharp?" Alex teased.
"He's not self-healing," Ethan hissed. "And I can't stop the bleeding."
Immediately, Alex sobered, shoving Ethan away so he could take a look. But what good was a siren?
"I'm slowing your heart." Ethan pressed a hand to my neck. "Try to calm down."
"Sure," I nodded. "I'll do that. I'll just tell myself to calm down while I..." A dark one could always calm down, always compartmentalize. "Genesis, what color are my eyes?"
"Face pale," she answered in a tiny voice.
"Blue. They're blue."
Mason let out a little howl as he knelt by my side and took my hand in his. Apparently my emotions were causing him to change, as claws replaced hands. "It's fine," I lied, unable to taste it in the air. "There is no better way to die than in the presence of friends." Brave words for someone who didn't feel so brave. Because regardless of my human state, I would die as a dark one. I would be nothing, feel nothing, know nothing. To die as a dark one is to have never existed. And for the first time in my existence, I wanted the pain that memory brought, because it meant that I had lived, that I'd suffered, that I had loved, and come out on the other side better for it. Genesis squeezed my hand, just as Ethan shouted, "He's coding!" Suddenly, Stephanie was at my side, shoving everyone out of the way. Was she glowing? Why the hell was I seeing a light? She slid her wrists along Ethan's teeth so quickly, Ethan didn't have time to protest, and then knelt next to my head, pressing her wrist against my mouth.
"It won't be enough," Ethan said sadly.
"It has to be,"
Stephanie said through soft sobs.
"It has to be. I love him. It has to work."
I smiled. "Love." Exhaustion took over.
"You."
I reached up to caress her face one last time.
and failed, as my hand slumped to the floor, right along with my body. I stood near the edge of the building where darkness met light. It was the perfect spot for me to be standing, all things considered. That was my life. The perfect rapture of darkness. Light flirted on the outskirts, trying to seep through, but I knew better than anyone its chances of succeeding were slim. I held out my hand, and my fingertips kissed the sunlight peeking through the clouds. I twirled my hand around and let out a defeated sigh. Cassius, Sariel, my father, and one of the head archangels, the same angels that hadn't appeared to the immortals for over 300 years, spoke my name with such authority and finality that it was impossible not to feel the effects of the words as he released them into the universe. They slammed against my chest, stealing every ounce of oxygen I just greedily sucked in. You have failed. Yes. I swallowed the lie, felt it burn all the way down my throat, into my lungs. My cold, rotten heart picked up speed. Maybe I really was dead inside, like she said. Maybe it was hopeless. All of it. I taste the lie on your lips, half-breed. So taste. I fired back, as my eyes strained to focus on the light. The yearning to be light, to fully allow it to consume me, was like a fire burning in my soul. I have nothing more to say to you. You realize what this means? The once purple feathers surrounding his bulky body illuminated red. My heartbeat slowed to a gentle rhythm as droplets of blood cascaded from his feathers in perfect cadence with my breathing. I do. Yet you do not fight? Finally, I lifted my gaze to his. His strong jaw ticked as his black hair blew in the wind. I knew I was the only one who could see him, compliments of my ancestors, my angelic blood. When one has lost everything worth fighting for, I swallowed. Tell me, what is the point? You've never given up before, he said quietly, his voice filled with disbelief. I've never been in love before, I yelled, slamming my hand against the brick wall. If anyone passed by, they'd simply think I'd gone insane. And maybe I had. Because of her. Everything was because of her. It's best that I die. Best that I leave her. Sariel's face broke out into a bright smile. The blood from his feathers pooled at his feet, forming the shape of a heart. Very well. I prepared myself for the pain, for the sheer agony of ceasing to exist. I knew from stories that when a dark one died, it was horrific, terrifying, for we never knew if we would rejoin the light or the darkness. I assumed I would go dark. I assumed I would be consumed with evil. I assumed wrong, because the minute Sariel touched my skin, I felt nothing but empty. A gift, Sariel whispered into the air, for my only remaining son. His fingertips pressed against my skin. They burned. They seared everywhere they pressed. What are you doing? He didn't answer. When he stepped away, light flashed in front of my eyes, and I was back in Russia, back where it had all begun. Tears filled my line of vision as I imagined the pain and suffering of the mountain. So it was over then. Sariel's lips twitched into what looked like a smile, though I couldn't tell. Maybe I was hallucinating. Maybe this was death. A lonely existence of living in the past, while still being able to remember the touch of the present. Watch, Sariel instructed, crossing his arms in front of the golden armor placed around his body. His helmet had been restored, along with his shield and spear. A large tree with heavy branches twisted around the shield, and then suddenly started to grow from the shield as roots grew into the snowy ground. I took a step back as the tree spread its branches from east to west, its trunk doubling in size, only to stop growing once it reached at least 30 feet into the air. "The tree of life," Sariel spoke reverently. "We watched, but we didn't just watch. We watched over something very specific. My gift was life. I was to watch over life." He hung his head. "So when I helped create it, it was not just an abomination that was created, but something that was never supposed to be." He motioned to the tree. "Humans were supposed to be born with limited knowledge of the unexplainable. When you were created, you were born with both. Humanly, your brain cannot morally comprehend your angelic side. And as an angel, the human side not only fascinates you, but disgusts you, goes directly against everything you've ever fought for. So how do the two coexist? It will always be a battle. To kill you," he sighed. "To kill a life that the angel of life has created would not only kill an entire race of demons or fallen," he shared a look with me, "but humans as well." The heaviness of his words stunned me. "But to tell you of your own importance, of how you, Cassius, keep the balance of good and evil within the world right along with your mate, what risk would I be taking? To give you knowledge that part of your soul will never understand, part of your body may reject? It was not my place, nor did I see this far into the future, to know that had I possibly told you sooner, war could have been avoided." The tree dissipated in front of me, as 12 thrones grew up from the ground. They were made of pure gold, and like Sariel's shield, each throne had a different tree. "Bannock watched over death and destruction," Sariel whispered. "And because of me, it consumed him." He turned his head in my direction. "Even angels are given a choice. Do we give in to the darkness? The comfort of knowing that we can selfishly do whatever we want, using the powers we've been gifted with? Or do we follow? I'm sad to say, because of me, Bannock was bitter. Bitter enough to allow the darkness to turn him into a completely fallen angel. A powerful demon who has abilities that far surpass anything you've ever seen." He licked his lips. "So, son, today will not be the day that I take your life from this world. Today, I gift you with more than you could possibly imagine, in hopes that you will do what I could not." "I don't understand." Sariel's eyes filled with tears. "A sacrifice must always be made, my son. Blood must always spill. It is the way of the earth, the way of the heavens." "Father!" I reached for him. "What are you saying?" Sariel closed his eyes as a silver tear ran down his strong face. "All I wanted," his white-filled eyes blinked up at me, "was to be worthy of that word, just once." He smiled. "And today, I hope that you remember the way you effortlessly released the most beautiful of words into the air, giving me a peace I've been waiting for millennia. He smiled. The test of your humanity was twofold. Yes, you needed her love, but you needed to also see that without all of this, he spread his arms wide, you still had something to offer. The thrones disappeared into the ground as the earth started to tremble around my feet. Save my brothers, my son. Finish the work. He nodded his head at me and walked toward the middle of the valley, just as 5,000 angelic beings descended out of a silvery mist onto the ground. They were in full gold armor, hands placed on their swords, facing every direction of the earth, north, south, east, and west. They parted down the middle, and a little boy made his way slowly toward Sariel. Sariel nodded at him, and then swiftly passed him, and took his place in the middle of the cavalry. But the little boy approached me, the same one from Sariel's visions. He stopped a few feet away. Rules have never been easy for you to follow, Dark One. I hung my head. Yes, I'm aware. He smiled brightly. It seems to be hereditary. Apparently. Where there is dark, there will always be light, he whispered. And where there is light, power exists. For things that have been hidden will be visible. And there is so much power within your sight. He stepped away. I will take good care of him. I won't see him again. The thought stunned me, made me want to chase after the father I'd always despised, but the only family I'd ever known other than my mother. Will I? We all have our time. This is yours. His was ending, and a life must always take place of a life. He is simply sacrificing his, so that you will have yours.
But I love you,
Sariel whispered in my head, as his normally light-infused body turned strangely human. The little boy lifted his hand and pressed it to my chest. Use his power well. Love fiercely. End this war. His eyes turned an eerie silver. I see many futures for the immortals. Power surged through me as I fell to my knees. The little boy tipped my chin toward him. Be the light in the darkness, Cassius.
Chapter 41 Stephanie. I hunched over his lifeless body. The house started to shake as lights flickered around us. Ethan held up his hand for us to be quiet as the shaking continued. Lamps fell off the tables, pictures dropped to the floor. And then, everything suddenly froze, as if time was stopped. The atmosphere was a mixture of complete silence and an eerie ringing in my ears. A huge gasp emitted from Cassius as he opened his eyes and locked onto me. They were a silvery white, different, yet the same. It worked! I kissed his mouth and wrapped my arms around his neck, unable to help myself. I'd almost lost him. Tears streamed down my face.
Stephanie.
Ethan coughed. I kept choking the life out of Cassius as I hugged him.
Stephanie.
Ethan said my name again, this time more urgent, as his strong hand landed on my shoulder in an effort to jerk me away. What? His eyes widened as he nodded toward Cassius. I pulled back just enough to see a purple feather greet me, followed by a few hundred more. Stumbling back onto my butt, I let out a gasp of surprise as purple wings spread 12 feet across Cassius's back. poking into the couch and kissing the fireplace. Cassius's chest heaved with an over-exaggerated inhalation as he fluidly rose to his feet. The atmosphere remained timeless, serene, as he glanced around the room, then into each and every one of our faces and whispered, "Zariel has passed on." "No shit. Did you eat him?" Alex grumbled, earning an elbow from Mason. Cassius hung his head as his body trembled. Purple feathers shuddered in unison with him as if mourning the loss of the soul they'd once been united with. And then, all at once, the feathers released a purple mist.
"Even the feathers weep of his absence," Ethan said in a grave voice, sliding his hand behind Genesis's back and quietly escorting her out of the room.
Alex and Mason followed. Maybe they, too, sensed the stillness in the air, the absolute paralysis of the cells around us, as if they, too, were confused on what course of action to take. After all, what was the protocol when a Dark One suddenly spreaded wings out of his back? And not black, ripped-up wings, but true wings, the ones of his father, an archangel. I stayed glued to the floor as Cassius hovered near me. Was it possible for him to be more beautiful than before? It must be, because he was. His strong jaw was smooth, cut perfectly across a flawless face. Sensual lips curved downward into a scowl as his wings slowly retracted back toward his body, then disappeared altogether. "What happened?" I asked, slowly rising to my feet and making my way toward his shivering body. He might look gorgeous, but he also carried an air that he'd just undergone the most traumatic experience of his life.
"Everything," Cassius whispered, "and yet nothing I shouldn't have seen."
His eyes flashed.
"I should have seen it. I should have seen all of it, but he was always so vague."
Cassius's shoulders rose and fell with each laborious breath he took.
"It was a future that was too closely tied to mine."
I pressed my hand to his shoulder. He reached out and caressed my fingertips. His skin was smoother than before, as if it was brand new, barely created a second ago and placed on his body.
"A life for a life," he said in a low tone.
"And the life taken?"
"Offered. He offered his life and everything. All of his power and his job fell to me."
"More heaviness," I guessed, as Cassius shared a look with me, and in that look I saw everything. Zariel offering himself up, the child I'd recognized in the dream, trees, the thrones, and all of the angels.
"When you stabbed me, I didn't know what I was doing. Just tried to give you as much power as I could. I knew you were running into danger. I had no idea that by doing that I was condemning myself to death."
"I wanted to help," I said in a small voice. "It's my fault he's dead. If I hadn't run off..."
"There were several futures, Stephanie."
He cupped my face with his hand.
"Believe me when I say this was the best one. The one, now that I know Sariel's thoughts, that he very much hoped for."
"And the others?"
"Altered. Only slightly."
I haven't told the others about Bannock, about what I saw.
"Well."
Cassius pulled me in for a hug, pressing my body tight against his.
"I think it's time they know what we are up against. Not just a race of unruly demons, but a fallen angel hell-bent on destroying both humans and immortals alike."
"He doesn't want everyone dead." I squeezed my arms around Cassius. "He wants them enslaved."
"Death is better."
"It is."
"If it comes to a choice."
Cassius tensed up again.
"I will kill myself, destroying both humans and immortals at the same time. I will kill us all before I let him make slaves out of us."
"Is that your choice to make?" Cassius paused, his voice grave.
"It is now."
Chapter 42. Cassius. To be a Dark One was to know perfection, but be unable to reach it. Now that I had Sariel's blood flowing somehow miraculously through my veins, I could touch it, smell it, bond with it. But my humanity, or whatever was left of it,
rejected the notion completely. Logic shook its head in denial, and so I appeared different. But I was very much the same, split completely down the middle between two races, the answer as well as the end. In a cruel twist of fate, the angel of life and death had created both. Me. I had no idea if I possessed enough power to fight off Bannock on my own. But what I did know was that the battle between dark and light was just starting to get interesting. Mason was hovering over the stove, flipping a steak as he so often did when he was upset about something. I had to wonder if he had some Italian or Greek running through some of those wolfish veins. The blood of Sariel called to me to use it. No longer would I have to guess about anything. But my humanity pressed the fleeting thought away. What fun was life when you knew all the answers already? I'd learned that as a human. I'd kept living that way as a dark one. Alex sipped a cup of coffee and pretended to be reading, but he rarely turned the page, just stared it down, lost in his dark thoughts, the same ones he so often tried to play off when really, possibly, he had the hardest future of us all. And Genesis, lovely, beautiful, pregnant Genesis, sat on Ethan's lap while he drank from her neck. If you blinked, you could almost miss the small cut near her ear where he kissed and sucked. "Gross," Alex said in a bored voice. "At least have the decency to do it in private." "You eat at a table," Ethan pointed out. "Why can't I?" "Ha!" Mason flipped the steak in the air again. "Vampire has a point." Alex scrunched up his nose while I sat between the two of them. Stephanie still gripped my hand, offering her support, her love. It floated off of her in perfumed waves, stabilizing me, altering me so completely that I knew had I been in Sariel's place, I would have made the exact same choice. Because when I closed my eyes, I saw her. And only her. "Sariel has given his life for mine." My voice didn't shake. It was smooth, in command, something I didn't feel. But everyone knows just because you have a feeling doesn't mean you are that feeling. I felt unsure. That didn't mean I needed to actually follow through with it and become unsure when it came to my decisions. Because they affected every being around me, mortal and immortal. I had to focus on my knowledge, on my heart, on the love surrounding me, not the flimsy feeling that told me to be afraid. After all, fear, it is not welcome here. Alex spoke it for me, his eyes locking onto mine as he leaned forward in anticipation. "Bannock, one of Sariel's brothers, has fallen. He's captured the 10 remaining archangels of the realm. Each was to be guarding a different part of the human plane. They are all missing." Genesis' mouth dropped open, while Mason stopped cooking and turned around, eyes wide with shock. "How the hell did we miss that?" Ethan raged through clenched teeth. "It's our job to keep the peace. And some archangels been luring others into his keep? And creating demons? Where have we been?" "We can't blame ourselves," I said. "Even Sariel did not see it coming until it was too late. Bannock has been planning this ever since Pompeii, ever since his first taste of human blood. At the time I blamed Timber for giving out immortal blood, and now I suspect it was Bannock, pulling the strings the entire time." "Well, damn," Ethan sighed, running his hands through his long, dark hair. "That's been a few years." Alex's lips twitched. "Try a few hundred. But sure, yeah, just saying few sounds so much better. Like we blinked and, oh, look, they invented cars." "You." I jabbed a finger at Alex. We'll need to visit some old family. Alex's nostrils flared. Watch me curb my enthusiasm.